Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, social, economic, prophetic events in the life of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. The big event in the news this week is the fall of Afghanistan to the Taliban. And there are many, many biblical lessons to learn in this, but I'm going to address that subject in my program next week. Rather than just speaking off the cuff, I need to put a little more research time into that. Today, I'd like to finish up the series I've been doing on the seal, the trumpet, and the bowl judgments prophesied in the book of the Revelation, these apocalyptic judgments that will soon come upon the whole world. This will be part 5. I've covered the seal and the trumpet judgments. And now, finally, Revelation chapter 16. The final 7 bowl judgments, Revelation 16:1. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple, saying to the 7 angels, "Go and pour out on the earth the 7 bowls of the wrath of God." And as is my usual practice, before we get into the details, we need to cover some preliminaries. First, what makes Bible prophecy unique from all other alleged prophetic writings is that the Bible is much more specific. If you read the 16th century astrologer Nostradamus, all you get is general principles, just like you would get from a horoscope. You're going to meet a special interesting person today, or a nation will go to war. And of course these things will happen, because they always happen. But the Bible gives specifics. That an Antichrist will arise and unite with 10 nations, and that there will be these specific cosmic judgments in chronological order. We may take the specificity of biblical prophecy for granted, but I just want to remind us of the unique gift we have been given in biblical prophecy. Both in the Old Testament prophecy of Jesus the Messiah and the ending of the Old Covenant in the book of Daniel, and in New Testament prophecy concerning the end of this age in the book of the Revelation. And another thing we take for granted is prophecy itself. In the book of the Revelation, John is not seeing a dream of the future. He is seeing the future. Now, how does that even happen? Maybe we have gotten so used to sci-fi movies that we assume people can easily see the future or travel back and forth in time, but it's impossible for someone to see events that have not yet taken place. Why? Well, because they haven't taken place yet. The people, the molecules, haven't arranged themselves in that future arrangement. And to arrange all that future scenery right now is impossible. And it's not like we live amongst alternative universes where the future is happening in another location and all we have to do is jump into that location. We just need to realize how impossible it is to see the future. But God can see the future. Maybe God is even there at the same time he's here. Isaiah 46, verse 9. "For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things which have not yet been done. My purposes will be established, and I will accomplish all of my good pleasure." And the fact that God is omniscient and knows the future speaks to his power and his sovereignty. So let us fall down on our faces and be in awe and in humility at the power and the holiness of God. In the book of the Revelation, God takes the apostle John to see the future, to see what a man could never see. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. John hears a voice, "Come up here and I will show you what must take place after these things." Now, my final preliminary point is that the fulfillment of the future prophecy is near. That's what the book of the Revelation itself declares. In chapter 1, the beginning of the Revelation begins with the declaration, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near, and the revelation ends with the same declaration. Revelation 22:10, and he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Now, there's an interesting parallel between Revelation 22:10, do not seal up the words of the prophecy, and the Old Testament book of Daniel. In Daniel's day, 550 BC, the angel tells Daniel that these prophecies are sealed up and concealed to the end of time. In other words, they're too cryptic for God's people to understand. Daniel chapter 12, verse 9. But in the prophecy of the Revelation, the Apostle John is told that these prophecies are not to be concealed. New Testament believers are to be in the know. For now, we have the Holy Spirit. And John 15:15, all things that Jesus has heard from the Father, he has made known to us. Now, as far as the time being near, a 2,000-year church age may not seem like the time is near. But 2,000 years is only about 30 social connections between grandfathers and grandsons. And in view of eternity, 2,000 years is a speck on a timeline. And if the coming of the Lord was called near in the first century, how much nearer today? As is often said, if the church age is the last hour in God's prophetic clock, we're living in the last minute of the last hour. And don't forget the biblical phrase from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, telling Christians to be in fellowship all the more as you see the day approaching or drawing near. So Christians were to be aware of how the timetable is progressing. Well, here's an overlooked news item, just to remind us how insecure and perilous the world. The time is short. A Chinese media company put out a video that threatens Japan with a first nuclear weapon strike if Japan tries to prevent China from invading Taiwan. The video states, when we liberate Taiwan. Notice it says when, not if. If Japan dares to intervene by force, even if it only deploys one soldier, one plane, one ship, we will not only return reciprocal fire, but also start a full-scale war against Japan. We will use nuclear bombs first. Now, although this was a media company in China, not a statement from the Chinese Communist Party, it was certainly approved by the party, because everything gets approved by the party. And they're sending out a message to proactively dissuade any nation from defending Taiwan. And this is really a departure from the world's policy where nuclear weapons were only to be used as a last resort. So think about this. For the last 70 years, nations have had a capacity to do something that was never possible in the history of mankind. Wipe out each other with one push of a button. And it has not been because of man's goodness that the world has not gone to nuclear war. It's been the hand of God that has kept the nations from using these weapons. But given the nature of man and given the nature of war, these weapons will be used. And that will change everything. The apocalyptic judgments described in the book of the Revelation, both the judgments that come about by man's doing and the judgments that fall directly by the hand of God, are not pie-in-the-sky fantasy. They're real. Everyone knows they can happen. Judgment day is coming. Revelation 22:10, and he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. The judgments could begin on the world at any moment, and then where will you spend eternity? So, in my last program in this series, I finished up the seal judgments in Revelation chapter 6 and the trumpet judgments in chapter 8 and 9. And Revelations chapter 10 through 14 are flashbacks. Like a novelist will stop his story and provide some backstory before moving on. In these chapters, we read about the Antichrist, the uniting of the Ten Kings, the Mark of the Beast, the two prophets in Jerusalem. The events described in Revelation 10 through 14 are not occurring between the ending of the trumpet judgments and the beginning of the bowl judgments. They are an interlude, a flashback of world events that will take place in the overall scheme of the Great Tribulation. And the reason we know this for sure is in Revelation chapter 10, verse 1, at the beginning of this interlude, the Apostle John is given a separate little book with prophecies in it, separate from the unfolding of the scroll and the judgments contained within. And in chapter 15, we again pick up with the story of the unfolding scroll. Chapter 15, verse 6, the seven angels who had seven plagues came out of the temple, clothed in linen, clean and bright, and girded around their chests with golden sashes. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished. As I mentioned previously, there are some parallels between the trumpet judgments and the bowl judgments. The first set of judgments, the seal judgments, are quite unique. They are much different than the trumpet and the bowl judgments, but there are some similarities between the trumpet and bowl judgments, such as the second trumpet judgment is a judgment upon the sea and it becomes like blood, and the second bowl judgment is a judgment upon the sea and the sea becomes like blood. The third trumpet judgment is a judgment upon the fresh water, and the third bowl judgment is a judgment upon the fresh water. The fourth trumpet judgment is upon the sun, and the fourth bowl judgment is also upon the sun. So because of this, some have jumped to the conclusion that these judgments are superimposed upon one another, that the bowl judgments are simply a restating or a renewed description of the trumpet judgments. But the trumpet and the bowl judgments have much that's dissimilar. Plus, the point is that in the trumpet judgments, only a third of the world is affected. In the bowl judgments, it's the entire world. There is an intensification of the judgments, just like there was in the plagues of Egypt. The point is that time is up. No more warnings. This is the final judgment, Revelation 10, 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished, as he preached to his servants the prophets. Remember, the seventh trumpet judgment contains the seven bowl judgments. In Revelation 15, 1, then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels who had seven plagues, which are the last, because in them the wrath of God is finished. So the bowl judgments are unique. They are separate final judgments. And notice these judgments are described as bowls. Bowls of wrath being poured out upon the earth. For all the descriptions that could have been used, why bowls? Well, the point is that these judgments are directly from the hand of God. Even though God in the past has used evil men to punish other evil men, these judgments are not man's doing. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. The wrath of God is being described as filling up bowls, judgments to be poured out upon the earth. Now in chapter 15, before these bowls are poured out, John sees a multitude in heaven. Those who have been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name standing on a sea of glass holding harps of God. And they're praising God. And at this point, the reader gets the sense that all the true followers of God are off the earth. There are all sorts of theories concerning exactly when believers are raptured off the earth in regard to the chronology of the Great Tribulation. But at least we see in Revelation 15 that even the tribulation age believers are not on earth during this time of God's wrath. Now, how that works out in regard to other prophecies for national Israel, no one really knows. You know, many claim they have systems of chronology that have this all worked out, but they really don't know for sure. Revelation 16:2. So the first angel went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and it became loathsome and malignant sores on people who had the mark of the beast and who had worshipped his image. Now, this is a description of all those who are on earth. Revelation 13:8. All who dwell on the earth will worship the Antichrist, the beast. But the timeless lesson here is that those who take of the mark of the beast, undoubtedly did so because that was their ticket to safety. So they thought that they would find acceptance and provision by giving their allegiance to the Antichrist and the kingdom of man. But in the end, the mark of the beast would be the source of their suffering. And in the end, all those who declare for God and do not take of the mark are saved, but those who declare for Satan are lost. In the book of Ezekiel, God tells an angel to put a mark upon his people, those who are grieving over the sins committed by the nation, Ezekiel 9:4. Those who had God's mark upon them were saved. Those who had the mark of Satan are lost. And the point is that God can be selective in his judgments. It's not that we all reap corporate responsibility. No, those who choose for the devil will be marked out for condemnation. So although this prophecy has a future reality, it has a timeless lesson. When you sell your soul to the devil and you seek safety in his wings, when you compromise with the world, you will reap judgment. Now the second bowl is poured out. Revelation 16:3. The second angel pours out his bowl into the sea, and it becomes blood like that of a dead man. And every living thing in the sea dies. This is blood-like. It's not necessarily blood. The point is the color red. Maybe the weather conditions are such that something like bacteria or red tide takes over the oceans and kills all the fish. The bountiful earth that God gave to mankind to sustain man is taken away. And the environmentalists are not going to be able to say, I told you so, because this will be something totally unexpected by the environmentalist. The third bowl is poured out, Revelation 16:4. Then the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. So in a separate judgment, the same thing happens to fresh water, giving mankind no alternative source of food and water. Someone said to me recently, this must mean everyone will die because people can't live without water for more than 3 days. Well, obviously people can boil water and live off a canned food for a while. Apparently the nations still have enough resources to gather all armies to fight together at Armageddon. But the commentary provided by the angel ought not to be missed. And I heard the angel of the water saying, righteous are you, who are and who were, O Holy One, because you judged these things. For they poured out the blood of the saints and the prophets. You have given them blood to drink. They deserve it. And I heard the altar saying, yes, O Lord, the Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. Why does the angel say this? It might sound quite vindictive to some, but because of the severe nature of these judgments, the angel is explaining why these judgments are necessary. What did these people do that was so bad that calls for such suffering? Because these people are not victims, they're murderers. The people of this world have been engaged in an all-out assault on God's people. And here the timeless lesson is not to fall into the lie that everyone's a victim. God is not persecuting these people. Yes, we pity the wicked, but we must recognize justice needs to be served. Verse 7, yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. The fourth bowl is poured out, Revelation 16:8. The fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. This is a heat wave like there never was a heat wave. This is the true coming global warming. And it will not be because of cars and CO2. It will be caused by God pouring his wrath out upon the sun. And how does mankind respond? Verse 9, men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who had power over these plagues. And they did not repent so as to give him glory. They recognize that it's God who has power over these plagues. And it's God who has taken away the seasons that he has given to man. This is foreshadowed in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 24. They do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God who gives us rain in its season, both the autumn rain and the spring rain, who keeps for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned these away, and your sins have withheld good from you. So the timeless lesson here is stop taking for granted the gifts of God. If you depart from the Lord, you will depart from the very source of these gifts. The fifth angel pours out his bowl. And remember, all of these bowl judgments could take place over a period of just a few days. At the end of the Great Tribulation, Revelation chapter 16, verse 10, then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. And his kingdom became darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of the pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. So there's a going from the heat of the sun to darkness. Atmospheric dust, some sort of fallout, we don't know. The reference to this darkness being upon the kingdom of the beast has often been interpreted to mean a regional darkness someplace on earth. But it's more likely that the kingdom of the beast is another way of describing the whole world. And the gnawing of their tongues because of the pain is simply a way to describe the intensity of the suffering and anxiety, like we would say today, they were biting their teeth. But still the commentary is given that they're still using their tongues to blaspheme God. It shows a world that's totally given over to the ideology of Satan. That God is the unjust one for not letting man do his own thing. And the fact that there's no repentance shows that it's time for the world to be judged. For the only reason God allows the world to continue is because there are souls still being harvested for the kingdom of God. But when hearts are hardened and the last soul is saved, then judgment day comes. Matthew 24, the gospel must be preached as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. And this is the Apostle Peter's teaching concerning why the day of the Lord has been postponed up till now. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. On that note, I will end. In my YouTube edition of this program, I will discuss the last two bowl judgments and Armageddon. The website to access those links is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for your support and your love for the Word of God. We all must continue to teach all men, for we are Christ's ambassadors. We are servants of the new covenant. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, Spirit and the bride say come. And as your bride, we invite lost souls to come to Christ, that they may take of the water of life without cost and be saved. In the name of Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen.